the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. This episode, I have the sweetest soul joining me, Rebecca Sweet. I love this woman. She is an incredible heart, an incredible soul, and she has a blog called Sweet Lady Jane. Lady is with an I, and it's talking about food, fashion, travel, and art. She loves farm-to-table food. She has so many great recipes, all sorts of great gift ideas, and this blog was a huge deal to her because it helped her overcome one of her greatest obstacles, which was dyslexia. So this blog really put her out there, got her out of her comfort zone, and she's had so much victory from it, personal victory, and it's been so well received, and her story is amazing. She's also married to Philip Sweet from Little Big Town, one of the four members of Little Big Town, and we talk all about their beautiful love story, their sweet love story, and how life is on the road with Little Big Town. It's pretty freaking awesome. So y'all, welcome Rebecca Sweet. So I'm here with Rebecca Sweet.
Yay.
And she lives up to her name, Sweet, because you're the sweetest.
Aww.
I really think you are the sweetest.
I don't know. Maybe it's just when I'm around you.
No.
Well, that's so kind of me to say.
And we have to comment on your hair because it is looking bomb.
I just did this 2 days ago, so it was kind of terrifying, but it was fun. I just wanted it to be bold.
What you said, bold. Yeah. It's so bold and it fits your skin tone.
Thank you.
So it's kind of, how would we describe this color?
I guess it's like a true red. Amanda at Lee Edwards, she's the one who was like, did it once. We kind of baby stepped me into it the first time. And then when I came back, I was like, okay, let's do it.
Go big or go home.
Yeah.
I love it.
She went there. It was awesome. She's kind of obsessed with curly hair. So she's been really helping me embrace my curly hair and then embrace the color that's mine. And
I love it. I don't think you should ever change.
Thank you.
Like, I would say this color forever.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Looks amazing.
Now I just need a convertible.
Yes, exactly. Totally.
Or a Jeep, something.
Anything with the top down.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a little rapid fire.
Okay.
So, actually, these are just some questions.
Okay.
So answer first thought that comes to mind.
Okay. I love this.
If you had a time machine, would you go back in time or would you visit the future and why? Where would you go?
Oh, I would go back in time to the 40s. I love the 40s. The speakeasies and like the hairdos and
clothes.
Yeah. And it's kind of romantic because it was kind of like dangerous, but like not dangerous.
Yes.
You know, like during Prohibition and stuff. I would just love to see that. That would be amazing.
Oh, you would look great. Is that like flapper era?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Great Gatsby.
Yes.
You know?
Like, and where cigarette smoking is really cool.
Yes. And like the long like cane ones, you know?
Yes.
That would be really fun to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love. What always brings a smile to your face?
Philip.
Oh.
He really does.
Your sweet angel husband.
Yeah, he's just such a good guy. And
the sweetest.
And he just always believes in me. I mean, anytime I get passionate about a project or even a house project or Sweet Lady Jane, he just always believes in me and takes me there and pushes me and doesn't let me like just hang myself or let me, you know, have doubt, self-doubt. So it's kind of amazing. He's so good. I know. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I deserve you.
You do. You.
I'm a slight pain in his ass, though.
No, you're not. And we're going to come back to it, but your husband is in Little Big Town, and
yes.
He's amazing.
He is amazing.
And you also, you said Sweet Lady Jane.
Sweet Lady
That's
Jane.
That's your blog, which we're going to talk all about.
Love
but
it.
But you guys are the sweetest couple.
Thank
and
you.
And I think people live up to their names.
That's so sweet. We've been married for 10 years, and so we just wanted to love each other forever and to be that couple to gross our grandchildren out. We wanted to be, like, on the front porch drinking dirty martinis and, like...
Making out.
So and our kids going, ew!
Was that a conscious decision?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Because, you know, some couples get into this thing where they start, like, picking at each other, and they kind of keep score, and then all of a sudden you see a couple, and they're always bickering. And that's not you guys.
No.
But that was a choice?
I mean, yeah, it definitely is a choice. I mean, we definitely argue, but, I mean... It's just the way we kind of take a break. It's our process. We learn to communicate. We always are constantly learning different ways to communicate. And even as we grow older, that changes too. You know, your feelings change. And so as long as you keep in touch with each other and be best friends, then it can be that way. I still like him a lot too.
How cool is that?
Nice. Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you are like love him more now than you did 10 years ago?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, he helped me grow so much. And 10 years ago, I was a little more cocky.
Aren't we all?
A little more obnoxious, you know? And he loved me through all that.
Like, he helped you get some wisdom?
Yeah. Without shoving it down my throat, which was kind of amazing. He let me learn on my own terms and my own pace and didn't judge me for making a mistake or, you know, be like, "You're such an idiot." He never said that.
Ah,
you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure you've helped him grow too.
I don't know.
You have. That's beautiful.
I think the only thing I do is help him with his technology.
You're tech savvy?
I like technology a lot.
Are you kidding me?
I do. I built Little Big Town an app one time years ago because it's fun. It's just fun to kind of look at. I don't know how to code or anything that far, but I just really enjoy that. That's interesting.
Crazy. You're like a rocket scientist.
It's fascinating. Well, in my former life, right?
Right? You know? Yeah, I think that's great. You're like a sexy rocket scientist.
Ooh, I like that.
That's what
I should be for Halloween.
Yes! And you could have Philip dress up as like a Bunsen burner, you know, the exploding thing.
That would be amazing. We do have themed Halloweens at our house.
As
every
you
year.
Should.
It's kind of hilarious. One year, the first Halloween that we had our daughter Penelope, he was a big bad wolf. I was little Bo Peep and she was my sheep. It was really hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
She was the cutest sheep ever too. Oh, little lamb.
Little lamb. Okay, so what makes you the angriest?
Ooh, what makes me the angriest?
The sweets don't get angry.
You know what would make me angry is if you mess with my husband or my baby.
Or my family. Don't mess with your flock.
It's just, no, don't mess with my flock. I just don't like that. Like, it's especially with Philip and Penelope that they are so sweet and I want to protect that I just get, that makes me fired up, you know?
Yeah.
That would definitely push my button for sure.
Okay.
But
mama hen.
Yeah. Mama hen. Other than that, I'm pretty easygoing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought there wouldn't be much that made you angry.
No, just don't mess with my dude.
Okay. What is one song that reminds you most of your life?
Ooh.
Or one song to describe your life?
To describe my life. That's a tough one. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's like a couple, you know how you feel like there's theme songs in your life? There's moments of those. Like Walking in Memphis is a big song, which Philip will die laughing when he hears this part.
Why Walking in Memphis?
Because, well, my dad and I used to listen to that song all the time. I was born in Memphis, but I grew up here. And so we used to dance to that song. And, you know, I just thought it was some song that my dad and I was special between us. And when Philip and I were kind of talking and, you know, he was asking me out on a date, I was like, okay, I'll go out on a date with you if you can play Walking in Memphis for me. If you learn how to play that, I will go on a date with you.
Stipulations.
He like busted it out right there.
So you're like, okay, let's just walk down the aisle.
Okay, let's just, yeah, literally. Like,
because weren't you the intern? Didn't you tell me that? Y'all have like a really
kind of
scandalous love story.
Scandalous of a love story, but it's a true love story. And
how did it go down?
Okay, so since I grew up here in Nashville, I started at Sony Music Nashville in the basement when I was 14. And so
doing what?
Anything I could. An intern,
they
working for free.
They let you have a job at 14?
Yeah. Well, it was technically like part of a high school program, like
cool,
kind of like an internship, seeing how it goes and stuff like that. But that was when Mike Kraske and Alan Butler were the heads of Sony, and I went to high school with their sons.
Okay.
So we were all friends, and I just really wanted to be on the business side of the music industry because I loved being around creative people and passionate people. And if I was going to have to work a desk job for the rest of my life, it had to be with passionate people.
Totally.
Just couldn't do it any other way.
I agree.
So went to college, came back home, and that's kind of when everything in Nashville was kind of up in heaval. And, you know,
what do you mean?
Well, Sony Music Nashville, you know, Alan and Mike and a lot of the heads like ended up losing their jobs, and they were kind of not sure what was going to happen with country music, if they were going to move it to New York or LA or
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of scary for my little hometown because that's all that there was country music.
About moving country music.
They were, or just getting rid of it all together. You know,
look how they turned those tables around.
Right?
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. So Mike Kraske opened up an independent label called Equity Music Group.
Yes.
So, of course, I went banging on his door and I was like, please, can I have a job? Please, can I have a job? But, you know, well, I'm going to school and all this, that, and the other. And I got a job working for the label and management. So I kind of got to see both sides of it all. And I really kind of helped, you know, with everything, paying bills, getting contracts, driving the artist around, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And every time I would see Philip, I would just get these butterflies. But I swore to myself I would never date an artist. Like, even when I was a teenager, like, just, I'm not going to do it, you know?
Why do people swear to them? Because I did that to myself, yeah, too. I was like, I'm not going to date an artist. But yeah, I secretly knew I was.
Yeah.
Because they're the most creative and passionate.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. It's like almost like, I'm not going to touch the hot stove.
Because, you know, I think we have these images that they couldn't be faithful, or they couldn't, right, be committed, or
want a family,
right,
or how do you have a normal life? And it is obtainable, you know?
Yeah.
But it's definitely about that right guy, you know? And he would always try to, like, make my lunch when I was supposed to be making his lunch. I was like, dude, you're not supposed to do that. Like, I am. So long, I was there for a year.
So he was flirting with you.
Oh, yeah. Every time he saw me, like, flirting with me. And I was like booking his airline tickets and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, you can't be flirting with me. You're gonna give me trouble. And Mike Kresge had threatened Philip too, and Jimmy, and any male around me. He was like, daddy, you know, like,
okay,
don't touch her. Like, so she's like off limits.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little like, kind of like the daughter of the label. Like, they just, everybody wanted to make sure that I was safe and, you know,
yeah,
well taken care of, which I was. Still am. And so long story short, they, Little Big Town's tour manager at the time called me and asked me to bring a snake from Nashville to Memphis.
Like a snake?
Like the snake that it connects the stage.
Oh, God. I was like,
yeah, sorry.
Nothing's too far out in Nashville.
No, right?
Like, what kind of show are they putting
Karen
on?
Karen wanted a snake instead of a cape this time.
She's going to put on a little Britney Spears action. Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, it's not too far-fetched.
No, right? It could happen. Yeah. Karen might have to take a Xanax before holding a snake. But
right.
But anyway, so it's a piece of gear that connects everything, you know, on the stage to, okay, the front of house and out to the audience. So I was like, sure, you know, and at the time I'm trying to pay my bills and they offered me money to do it. So I was like, okay. But the whole way there, I'm like calling all my girlfriends. I'm like, I know he's going to be there and I know he's going to try and flirt with me. And I remember I had texted him something and he never responded, like a funny joke.
Okay.
And he never responded. So I was like, okay, he probably thinks he's so much cooler than I am. So forget him. Right.
Yeah.
And I get there and I'm sitting on his bus and I'm like, see him on like the bus monitor camera, like walking to the bus, and I just grab a newspaper and I'm like,
I'm like, just so interested in what this, yeah, newspaper has to say.
It's amazing.
It's so what you were like wanted to do. Read,
right,
all about the news.
All about the news. Right. Right then.
So like you didn't even see him come in. You're too,
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, I'm too busy. And so he comes up and he actually is like, I'm so sorry I didn't respond to your text. And I was like, crap, he caught my bluff, you know, like.
Like, he's not trying to play games.
No, yeah, he was not trying to play games. Uh-huh. And so toward the end of the night came, and I had to drive back to Nashville, and he was like, you can't drive home by yourself. And I was like, I drove here by myself. I'm a big girl. It's not that far. You know, I can handle it. And he's like, well, why don't I just ride with you?
Stop.
And I'm like, okay, sure.
Are you, like, dying inside?
Dying.
Full inside. Body butterflies?
Full,
like, nervous?
Full body butterflies.
Now it's probably more than butterflies. Now it's nerves.
Like, intense. Like, I'm like, is my face red? Like, oh my gosh, don't fall. Don't fall, you know?
And also, like, that's a long time with just someone in a car. Like, that's,
yeah,
a lot of communicating that's going to happen here.
Right. And I'm like, and I'm working for the label still. It was just all sorts of...
Okay.
So then he pulls his bag to my car and he gets in and I feel like this is a good line. You know, I was like ready for it. I was like, well, I just want to let you know, if you think that I'm that kind of a girl, you need to get back on your artist bus and we can forget this even happened. And I appreciate you, your concern, you know?
So you just put it out there.
Yeah. And he pats me on.
You said, I ain't trying to hook up with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you how it is.
Yeah. And he pats me on the shoulder and he goes, well, I'm glad you got that out of the way.
Oh my God. So he's just been super cool from the start.
Super cool from the start. And yeah, then literally, I'm glad you got that out of the way. It was just, okay.
Okay.
And then 2 months from then, we were engaged. A year later, we were married. And then.
So did y'all make out on that car ride?
Yeah, we kind of did. Yeah.
Totally.
Totally did.
Well, the
he definitely
was
made me
there.
Breakfast too. It was really sweet.
So it was like a make out, shack out.
It was like, he was really sweet because we got there so.
So you told
in
him
the
that
middle
you're
morning.
Not that kind of girl.
Yeah.
And then he put
I ended up being that kind of girl.
Hey, but you
dang
know,
it.
It's all about the way it's presented.
Right. Because I also said I would never marry an artist, and I did that.
Right.
So,
look at you
know, I guess I should stop saying I'm not going to do it, because then usually I do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's really in your heart what you wanted to do.
Right.
But you just want to be respected, and you
yeah.
want to be well-treated.
Right. And I was giving up a lot, like dating him too, because then I would never be taken seriously in the industry again. I didn't want to be that girl either that, you know, dated a bunch of artists or
right.
Like I really, and I was kind of looking for something to put my life, my future together, like kind of over dating casually and yeah. stuff like that. But I was also okay with being by myself.
I feel like that's when it happens.
Yeah, 100%. Because I was even ready to like never get married, you know?
Yeah.
So I even told Philip that like in that first month of dating, I was like, I'm not really interested in getting married. And, you know, I feel like I can have a great life being me and having a partner and it not have to do that kind of a thing. And then later on, I was like, of course, I told the one guy that I actually want to marry that I don't want to get married.
Isn't that what we always do, though?
Yeah.
Especially when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to be like, cool. This is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Like, you're not going to like take advantage yeah. of me. I'm just letting you know.
I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I make the rules. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that, Pretty Woman? And I say who I sleep with. And I say. And then it's like, nothing.
No. You do it. It's 100% that. Uh-huh. So I'm a walking contradiction, I guess, with Philip and I.
How beautiful it's turning.
But yeah. Oh my gosh. I wouldn't change it for the world. And, you know, I have to play hard to get, right?
Yeah.
He can't just have everything.
Right.
He can't be sweet and adorable and charming.
And perfect and charming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. How has it been being married to a musician? How has that worked out for you?
Oh, I love it. I mean, my house is always full of music and it inspires my daughter to be in the arts and creative. And it's enjoyable. It's fun to watch because I'm not necessarily the art, you know, into music, musician kind of thing.
But you are very creative.
But I'm very creative. I'm just more in a different way. And I just love hearing him play different instruments. And I think it's really cool. Sometimes on stage, he literally is playing the guitar and playing the piano at the same time. I'm like, how do you do that?
How is that possible?
He plays with his fingers up here and this hand on the piano. It's crazy.
I don't have that kind of like.
He's a freaky anomaly.
On I know anything.
He'll gross you out. His gray hair is even growing blonde. It's really obnoxious.
So we've been looking for the perfect specimen and we found him. It's your husband. But I think it's a power couple. It's both of you guys.
Oh, you're sweet.
It's the deal.
I love it.
Okay. So if you were a superhero, what powers would you have?
Ooh, if I was a superhero, I guess to change somebody's heart. Like, you know, there's so much.
Gosh. Okay. I'm going to drop the mic on that one. Of course. I mean, you are the sweetest person.
Well, there's so much like going on in the world. And not to bring it to a depressing point, but it's like, just if you could literally just touch somebody and change their mindset about the world, that would be a cool superpower. Because then we wouldn't have all this hate going on, you know?
Why do you think all this hate is going on?
I think it's a miscommunication.
I agree.
I think
on a very large scale.
Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, you know, I love social media, but there are some downsides to it. And sometimes what it is that people don't take responsibility for the things that they put out there.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, well, it's just my opinion. I can say whatever I want to. Well, people listen to your opinions when you put it out there, whether it's right or wrong. And I think teaching that social responsibility to people, it just spreads like wildfire, you know? And yeah. Everybody likes a little drama and controversy. But
it snowballs.
It snowballs.
And it ends up hurting people. Negative.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but I think it's important to just start talking about it. And that it isn't against all of us. We're all in it together, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we got to do something about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love. You know? Love
in
that.
Like 50 years where there won't be like a white European person genetically, you know what I mean? Like
right.
We'll just all be a big blend of people.
Humanity.
Yeah.
It's going to be so crisscrossed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would be awesome.
We'll all just be a bunch of mutts.
Which I love mutts.
Me
mutts
too.
Mutts are they have a lot less health problems. They're like more adapted.
It's the way nature intended.
Yes.
If you think about it.
I agree.
You don't see other animals asking each other about their genetic backgrounds.
No. Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
What a great superpower.
Thanks.
Okay. And if you could choose one celebrity to trade lives with, who would it be and why?
Ooh. Let's see.
Just for a day, maybe not permanently.
Carly Kloss, I love her. She's like got the best legs ever.
Yes.
And body. And
yes.
Every time I see her do a photo shoot or anything on Instagram, I'm like, ooh, I would love to spend a day in your life.
Yeah, she's
just
hot.
Just one. Yeah.
What would it be like to be a supermodel?
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's always fascinating to me. I would want to be a fly on the wall. Even like backstage and
yes.
Hear what they talk about.
And they're all, there's just all of them, you know, just like this herd of like the most gorgeous women with these legs.
And they just hang out together.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible.
It is.
And I would just want to like try on one of the clothes, even though I wouldn't be able to fit into it. But
well, I mean, if you're Karlie Kloss for the day, it will fit like a supermodel.
A glove.
But you are smoking. Aww, so I love your body.
I'm smoking in my own way, right?
Exactly. You got your own thing going.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to get into this now. We've talked about how you are a Nashville native. How did you decide that you wanted to stay? Did you always know you wanted to be in Nashville?
No.
Because you're like an OG.
I mean, people call me the unicorn. It's kind of funny.
Yes, there's not many like original Nashville native people here.
No. The funny thing is when we were growing up, there wasn't a whole lot here. I mean, we didn't have a professional football team. We didn't even have a professional team at all.
Are you kidding?
No. I think I always make a joke that we had wrestling like on Friday nights and they had midget wrestling even. And like that was like the big hype to do, or drive down Second Avenue. And that's when Second Avenue was two lanes, like one going one way and one going the other.
Wow. And it has exploded, that whole part. Nashville's exploded.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, it used to be this little town of nowhere because Atlanta was so big that if you were going to go in the South, you'd go to Atlanta, not Nashville.
How did Nashville blow up?
I think country music definitely helped Nashville blow up. I mean, it has always been the heart of this town. And I mean, the people were, you know, supported by that industry. And so when the Dixie Chicks came out, Faith Hill and Tim McGraw and those, you know, records really
kind of made Nashville sexy.
Yeah. It kind of blew it out of the water. I mean, Tim and Faith are such gorgeous human beings, and the Dixie Chicks were just, you know, we never heard of a girl band harmonizing at that time. And they were just selling big numbers like pop. So it kind of changed that perception. And then the show Nashville, I think, really helped.
Maybe it showed that it's not just like a hick town. People think it's so like podunk, but it's not.
But it's not.
At all.
No, but we all used to tease that we wanted to get out of the small town and be like, I am never going to live in Nashville. My parents live here, you know. And then you go away to college and you realize what a cool and special place this is. There's just something about
so
it.
So special.
You just, the people, even the people who move here and lived here for 10 or 15 years, it just, it's contagious.
I feel that same way.
Yeah. It's welcoming. Everybody's always welcomed and you can sit down at a bar and make a new friend.
I don't feel like it's a competitive town. I feel like people compete with themselves.
Yeah.
And everyone here is a dreamer and everyone here is trying to accomplish these awesome passions.
Absolutely.
But it's never like, I want to win and I want this person to lose.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't get that vibe at all.
No, I don't either. And honestly, like, it was kind of shocking when I've gone to other award shows with Philip that weren't country music based, and just to see the drama and how so-and-so's dressing room can't be next to so-and-so. And in country music, I feel like we're all just happy to be in one dressing room because we're all in there drinking together anyways. So
exactly.
You know, and it's a big family and everybody's cheering each other on. And I think that's so important for a community of music, you know, and artists to just have that support group. And
I agree.
It's amazing.
I totally agree.
I love it.
So let's talk about your blog.
Okay.
Sweet Lady Jane.
Yes.
So tell me what that name, the origin is, where it came from, and tell me about the blog. I stalked your blog.
I love it.
There's so many amazing things in there. So many amazing recipes, too.
Thank you. Yeah.
I didn't realize how, like, farm to table you were and how, like, you, like, love this one little place to get your own vegetables.
Yes.
Talk to me about your heart and your blog and how it came about.
So it started with kind of conquering an issue, a fear. Philip actually figured out that I'm dyslexic.
How did you figure this out? And tell me what it's like living with dyslexia when you have no idea that you have it.
It was incredibly hard. Growing up, I knew that my whole family did. My mom did, especially. She's a teacher and, you know, she did the best she could help me. But dyslexia is really something that one in five people have, and every dyslexic is different. So I don't see letters backwards. I like flip when I'm writing. I have to be aware of how I flip the sentence. So like,
give me an example.
So like, you know, you have like the beginning of a sentence and then comma, the end of the sentence.
Okay.
Right?
Let's say like, I'm Rebecca Sweet and my blog is banging.
So yeah, it would be like, I would flip it and I'd be like, my blog is blah, blah, blah. Like I sometimes just flip that, or I omit words that don't have visuals, like the, a,
of. So everything's a picture for you.
Mm-hmm. Everything is tied to a sensory. So when I read, I have to have it read to me and I have to be touching the book for me to really comprehend it and not have to sit there for 30 minutes on the same paragraph, like really struggling with it. Yeah, it's kind of, I'm exploring it a lot, but Philip figured it out. He actually, this is how gentle he was about it too. He found a documentary that Richard Branson and Charles Schwab did called Rethinking Dyslexia. And he's like, this looks really cool. And Richard Branson's in it. Let's like check it out. I literally bawled through the whole thing. And I was like, I'm not crazy. This is exactly how I feel. He just knew. I think he just knew. He's just so intuitive. And when I would ask him to spell things, like phonics don't make sense to me at all. Like to me, it's my logic kicks in. An A sounds like an A, like not an A. Like that doesn't compute with me at all. So sounding words out, none of that makes sense to me.
So writing a blog would be very hard then if you have a hard time with sentence structure and all of that. Like how do you do it?
So I have to be a little patient with myself. I definitely have a journal that I carry around a lot that if you looked at it, it probably looks like a foreign language because it's just scribbles. And then I take that and I write. And I also have this app on my computer called Grammatically. And it shows me what is wrong with a sentence and why. So I'm actually like kind of having to relearn how to the English language because now I'm aware that I'm dyslexic. So now I know how I learn. So now I have to go back and put those fundamentals into my brain.
Wow.
It's kind of intense, but it feels good. Like, cause I'm not scared anymore. And writing such a big thing.
Were you scared before you found out you were scared. Dyslexic?
Yeah.
Like, were you nervous with words?
Nervous with words. I have 7 years of college and no degree cause I would just get so frustrated with school because.
And no teacher could help diagnose you?
No. I mean, my English teacher at Auburn, the whole reason why I left Auburn University was because I was in English class really trying like my best, going to the writing lab. I never missed a class. I mean, even if I was sick, I would still be there because she gave quizzes. So I needed all the points I could possibly get, knowing that my grade heavily depended on the paper at the end of the semester. Well, had my mom help me. She has an English master's, you know, like proofread it and all this stuff. And my mom, when she would proofread it, she would never like fix it for me. She would do the same thing like Grammatically does, like take a little comment note and explain to me that it was wrong, but not fix it.
Okay.
So my teacher had a program that could see all that. Well, she tries to turn me in for plagiarism.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. And I'm trying like I.
So how frustrating is this for
so
you?
So frustrating. And I got 100 on all my quizzes. I mean, technically before that paper, I had an A.
So she failed you?
Gave me a C.
Wow. And that's probably really traumatizing too, because you're trying your hardest and then all of a sudden it's like, I don't know what to do.
And if I'm putting all this effort into it, is this how my life is going to be? Like if I put this much effort and I know I'm doing my best, but it's not your best, it's my best.
So it's defeating.
So defeating. It just was, I didn't think I could ever conquer it. I never thought I would ever be a writer, but I always wanted to be a writer.
A writer.
Yeah, I
love to
write
it. Now you have a blog.
Yeah.
Gosh, that makes me want to cry.
I love, and it's like so freeing. It's like getting to the top of that mountain and still seeing another mountain, but you're like,
I did it.
Yeah, I'm going to climb that mountain too, you know?
And what an inspiration to your daughter, though, to show. I mean, I get so emotional. I hit 30 and everything makes me cry.
Oh, me too. I'm like, there's like a puppy, like a Sarah McLachlan puppy commercial. I'm like, ah.
Well, it's like, it's so inspiring to see people take things that feel impossible and conquer them.
Yeah, it is such a great thing for Penelope and I too, because what I like about her and I's relationship is I'm the mom that admits that I have flaws. I tell her that I made that. I'm telling you not to do it because I made that mistake, or I'm telling you to pay attention to this because I wasn't aware of it. You know, like I really try to help her understand that it's not just because I'm mom.
You're trying to boss her.
Yeah, I'm trying to show her how the world works, and that is my job, and to protect her and to keep her safe, because when she's 18, you're on your own.
Yeah,
you know, like mama can't save you.
Has she received this parenting well? Yeah. Does she understand?
Yeah, because she feels like I respect her, because I do respect her.
Yeah.
And so it kind of helps that mutual respect. And, you know, I mean, she's still sassy to me, but that's...
But you treat her like a human. You're not treating her like, just do it because I say.
Yeah, because I couldn't stand that when I was a kid. And I think a lot of parents, it's easy to say that because it's hard. It is frustrating in those moments when they're not doing what you're saying or asking. And they're like, why? And you're like, because I said so, you know, like
you have to take the time,
you have to breathe. take a step back. I mean, kids do push your buttons. They're supposed to push your boundaries too, you know? Yeah. So it's good. It's good. I like our relationship. She's my little buddy.
That's awesome.
She's a little crazy pants sometimes for sure.
Well, you got to have a little crazy.
Right?
Okay. So let's talk about this little homestead place that you go to where you do a lot of your food blogs because I love that you are also intentional with food. Like that doesn't surprise me because you're an intentional person,
but I do love food
and everything you make. It seems like it's like coming from nature, like whole products.
Yeah. I definitely try to do that. I think it's super important to use the healthiest option. I mean, even when you're making a sweet, you still want it to be healthy because cancer is so rampant and and there's so many, you know, philosophies out there of why or what, but
additives and GMOs and all of that.
But beyond that for me is it really does taste better.
You kind of have to train yourself. If you don't grow up eating healthy and whole, it's a new, you have to train your taste.
This is fresh.
Buds.
Yeah. Yes. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, Philip was also a big inspiration about food because he grew up on welfare. So, He grew up on welfare, girl.
Are you serious? So he's like the American dream?
He is the American dream. Single parent household, five children.
How did he get from there to here?
I don't know. I keep telling Lori McKenna that she needs to write a song called I Shouldn't Be Here with him. Like, because he technically, statistically should not be where he's at.
It's incredible. Has he always just been that positive, inspired person?
Yeah. His mom had a theater in Arkansas and he would play music and he can read music, but I can read music better than he can.
He plays by ear.
Yeah, totally by ear. He won't admit this, but I think he has perfect pitch. It's crazy.
He's like a savant superhuman.
He's a savant superhuman, but he doesn't know it. It's really weird.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, you guys are a celebrity power couple, honestly. Right. You are.
So sweet.
But no one would know because the way you guys interact with people is so
humble
and kind, just like Tim McGraw said.
I love that song, too.
I do, too.
I think our philosophy has always been we want to feel comfortable in our skin. And if that's empowering to somebody or make somebody else feel good, then that's kind of like the point. You know, it just feels good to be together and it feels good to be me and it feels good to be him. So when that kind of unites, it just,
and you're not trying to be better than anyone. You're just trying to be yourselves.
Oh man, we're just trying to get ahead, you know?
You're just trying to do your deal.
We're just trying to get to the point where we're sitting in rocking chairs with dirty martinis grossing our grandchildren out.
What's wrong with that?
That's just like the ultimate goal and just have a great, beautiful life together. It's short.
So he was interested in food.
Yeah.
So he helped inspire you.
He's super picky about food, which he has every right to be picky about food. And
does he like healthy food?
Loves healthy food. He loves any food. I mean, he really is a foodie, an authentic foodie. It will ruin his day if you have a better dish than he does, like kind of a thing.
So what happens when you have a better dish?
Oh, he pouts. It's really sad. You have to share it with him. You
just like pick his dish and he thinks he's got a good one.
Uh-huh. And then if it's not good, he'll be super sad. Super
sad. He can't shake it?
No, it's like, it's kind of sad. You're like, oh, honey, it's okay. Order it, you know? Or he'll order, you know, several appetizers just because he wants to try them, you know? Like,
I would say Michael's kind of like that. My husband, he wants it all.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't want to miss
the
taste that could have been the best one that was a surprise.
Right? Maybe that's a musician thing because they travel so much.
They just want to explore
in that restaurant in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's interesting. Maybe that's what it is. And I also wanted Penelope to know where her food came from. I think that's really important, you know, to teach our kids. It's a lot. It's kind of a dying thing, this farming, and it's unfortunate. You know, everybody thinks an heirloom tomato should look perfect, and they don't.
Yeah. No.
You know, like you cut that spot off and eat around it, you know.
Yes.
Or so Farmer Steven out there and then Nina, who works out there, they have just been so inspiring. It's that same thing of being around passionate people.
Yes.
They're passionate about what they do, and there's a science behind it all, but it looks so effortless. Like there's a field of wildflowers just to keep the weeds down. And you're like, that's amazing. I would have never thought to plant wildflowers to keep weeds out.
I bet you're going to have one of these one day, huh?
I kind of want one really bad. It's kind of my therapy.
I got that vibe when I was like stalking you hardcore.
I love it.
I was like,
stalk me.
This is where you are like in your happy place out here. Like you love nature and you love connecting with like your hands in the dirt.
Yeah. And I think it's that and it being around somebody who's passionate about it. So, cause I learned something new and can teach that to Penelope, and it's just fun to see them and all of us get out there together and get our hands dirty, especially the first time they ever met me. They were kind of like, she's not going to get her hands dirty. Like, no way. And I was like, okay, what are we doing? And so they put me in the chicken coop and we cleaned it out. They literally thought I was not going to touch any of the chickens or any of the poop or anything like that.
How'd you find this place?
This is funny. So since I grew up here, the gentleman who owns it, Andy, he also owns Puckett's.
Oh, cool. One of the coolest local vibiest joints in
amazing.
Nashville.
Yeah. Every Sunday when I was a kid, we used to go out to Leaper's Fork and get a cheeseburger.
It's so fun out there.
So fun out there.
Franklin, that whole little area, Leaper's Fork, is like out of a movie.
It's seriously. Precious. And everybody's just so sweet and down home. And, you know, there's a guy in overalls and a John Deere hat in every corner, you know.
Yeah.
It's just really special place. And so they got opened or acquired at the mansion, I think, several years ago.
Okay.
And then opened up Homestead Manor and then the farm. It's still new, but it definitely supports the kitchen. But then they have other farms kind of help get a little bit more beefed up. But
can you, like, buy vegetables from there?
Yeah. They have a farmer's market every Wednesday.
Cool.
They even have mimosas.
Stop.
They have a mimosa bar. It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's so amazing. And do you like tamales? Like,
love tamales.
Homemade, real tamales. This guy, he has four huge pots and sometimes six. He'll make two extra ones and they sell out like that. They're so good. And they're like in the husk and everything.
See this in husk, the restaurant husk?
No, like
in the husk.
Yeah, in the corn husk. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing.
This makes me want to move out this direction towards like
come on, girl. Land.
You know, because like that whole area, it is very more like farm to table, I feel like.
Yeah.
And very local.
Yeah.
Which I love.
And just the people who are there are just amazing. Like Jory and Rory, they used to go out there all the time and he still goes out there with their little girl and he's such a ray of sunshine.
Have you seen him?
Yes.
Since? Joey and Rory, for everyone listening, they are the most beautiful, inspiring love story
ever.
Ever. Rory,
it gives me chills. Yeah.
Rory's the husband and he's been, his wife Joey passed of cancer.
Yeah. A horrible battle of cancer.
Oh, and he documented it all.
Yep.
And there's a movie coming out about it, right?
Yeah. And I think he's writing a book too. And he has such a light about him. I can't explain it, but if you ever see him in person, there's just like, it's like looking at an angel. There's just such a little glow about him and the way he talks about her and his journey. It's like his journey's not over and he wants to tell their story and hopefully find a cure. But even better than that, I think he wants to just help somebody feel better about if they're going through it.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a special person.
To have the ability to have that kind of like wisdom and knowingness when you're in that kind of pain.
Yeah.
Like his faith is
strong.
Strong.
Because I'd be pretty angry.
Pretty angry and pretty devastated to think you have to go the rest of your life without your soulmate.
And especially when you have a beautiful baby and you know, that baby's going to ask questions later and to have to relive that would be, I think, the most difficult thing to do, you know, but he's amazing.
He's an inspiration.
So he's up there too.
Love.
And then, you know, there's little moms that have canning stuff and then you can get your meat up there. They even have bison.
How great. So you're just eating like the most natural.
Yep. No hormones.
No hormone foods. Yep. So what do you like to cook? Like when you do your blogs, how do you decide what you want to cook? Have you always grown up cooking? And you also do cocktails. So like,
do
are you
cocktails.
A party person? Do you like their little like shindigs?
Yes. Cause, well, I come from a Portuguese Irish family, so we love get togethers and they always involve cocktails and cooking.
You have to.
Yeah. It's just the way it was. We didn't necessarily like cook all the time, like during the week, because my parents both worked jobs. Sometimes my mom had two or three jobs. Like they just worked really hard for my brother and I to have a very comfortable life. And
how wonderful.
We definitely did. Yeah. They're really great people.
What a blessing to have parents like that.
Yeah, it super was. And so my dad, he definitely is the party guy. And, you know, so he would plan these nights of cooking, like especially with Chinese. So he
loves Chinese.
Chinese. He makes the best egg rolls ever. I wrote about it on the blog and the recipe's up there. It's so good.
Oh,
they're like
gosh.
Little burritos. They're amazing. And he just would have such a fun time. And those are fond memories growing up of trying a new recipe and just kind of see what happens or what's
cooking
in there.
Is such a unifying thing.
Yeah. And if you're angry and you cook, it's going to taste angry.
Really?
Yes, I'm telling
you. Tell me about this.
It's really weird. Philip actually kind of, because, you know, one time I came home and I was just frustrated and traffic was bad and, you know, and I was trying to rush and it was school night and trying to hurry. And Philip was like, stop, or if it's going to taste like that. And it's the truth. If you think about it, anything you touch, you know, there's a reaction to it, right? Like,
wow.
Yeah. So that's why they say put your love into it. And like,
you can taste the love.
Yeah. It's true. It's really true.
I've thought a lot about how energy affects everything, but I have never thought about it in cooking.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, you know, if you love what you're doing, people are going to be like, oh, I love this. And
you can taste the love.
You can taste it, you know?
And it makes you feel good. That's why like soul food.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like if someone that you love has made this food, you know, they're pouring, wow.
And that's
this is like a moment for me right now.
Yeah. See, and it's amazing. And I really wanted to learn how to cook too for Philip. Like, since he, you know, I didn't have to worry about food. I mean, I could eat whatever I wanted to when I was growing up. And even when we went to the grocery store, it was not a problem. If you wanted a box of Lucky Charms, you had a box of Lucky Charms, mm-hmm. you know? And he didn't have that same luxury. So I really wanted him to be able to come home and like have his wife cook him a nice meal. It's like a love language, you know, like it's a way to be like, I love you, support you, you know, like.
I just love all the love that you guys have in your life.
It's like, just important, you know.
I can feel it. Like, I've wanted to cry like 3 times talking to you.
That's so sweet.
Because there's so much love that radiates, not just from you, but the family y'all created, the way y'all are expressing yourself through your blog, through Phyllis' music. Like, there's so much through
it's
your
important
cooking.
To us, you know.
I feel like you radiate that constantly.
It's what started our relationship. I mean, everybody thought we were probably crazy when we first started dating because, you know, he was an artist and there's an age difference and this, that, and the other. And he was so much further in his career and I wasn't. But you know what? We overcame all those odds because we loved each other. And, you know, I even had several friends when we first got married, like, you know, what if this doesn't last? And I'm like, well, it would be worth the years that I'm with him. Like, it just was worth the gamble to me. So, you know,
love romance.
When it's based off of love, that's just what it continues to be. And that's what I want. That's what I want for Penelope too. I want her to find that one guy that loves her and treats her the way that Philip treats me.
And she has that example though, so she'll know to look for it.
Oh yeah. And I had that example with my dad. My dad loves, and so does my mom, but I'm a daddy's girl. I mean, sorry, mom.
Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to cooking. So your dad cooked, you loved the kitchen, cocktails. Like, so you just have always loved the experience of cooking and sharing meals and
so
drinks.
So much joy, around it all. And then that's actually, like, kind of ties to Sweet Lady Jane. So my last name is Sweet. And then Lady, I just got, and I spell it with an I.
I know. Okay, I love the I. Just to, like, a little flair.
Yeah, well, Penelope's name spelled with an I. So it's P-E-N-E-L-O-P-I instead of an E. It's the Greek way.
I love.
And there's also a bakery called Sweet Lady Jane in LA that took the Y. So I went with I.
Yeah, but you know, I like it. It's bold.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you are.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then Jane, I'm the only girl in 6 generations to be born in my dad's side of the family until my little cousin Mackenzie, who is, let's see, she just turned 13. So she's my little baby. I love her. So she's Mackenzie Jane and then Penelope Jane. And then my grandmother's Betty Jane.
Oh.
And then, so it's just the middle name, you know?
Yeah.
And it comes with an attitude and a sass and, you know, my
but
mom.
But then it's sweet.
It is. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's like.
But it's also lady. You know? So there's like some reference there. Like,
yeah.
This is,
it's
love
like,
it.
I can have fun, but
you're
I'm a lady.
Also a lady.
Yeah.
But it's with an I.
Yep.
So I'm going to have cool
so I'm going to have fun.
I'm going to be bold redhead and I'm going to like express myself.
Exactly.
But
might let a bad word slip here and there and it's okay.
I mean, as you should.
Feels better sometimes.
Always. It's such an accent piece. It just like I love a little color in my conversation.
Me too. It always helps. You know?
I agree.
Especially when you mean something.
Yes. Emphasize it.
Exactly.
So on your blog, you have food, you have travel, you have great gift ideas.
Yeah.
Like you did a great Father's Day package on there. That was awesome. Where
Gifting's
do you
get? Gifting's my love language.
It is?
Yes.
You're a gift giver. Okay, I'm glad to know that.
Yeah. I really like to think about that moment when they open it and are like, I really wanted this. Like, I love that moment.
That's awesome.
That means like the world to me.
So you spend a lot of time on gifts. So everyone, make sure you check out the gift section because they are very well thought out.
Yeah, I love
I thought that when I was looking at them. Like, these are great ideas.
Yeah.
I always need ideas for gifts.
You know, it's kind of fun. It's just fun to go out and shop and, you know, even on the road, I like to do it and hold on to it or, you know, especially antiques. I love antiques. I have an obsession with that.
You do?
Yes. I love them. City Farmhouse is one of my favorite places to go. They have a pop-up shop too twice a year. That's incredible.
Is it in Nashville?
Yep.
Okay.
She has a storefront in the factory. Her name's Kim.
Oh,
and
nice.
Her and her husband. she finds these incredible pieces that you just wouldn't even believe.
Amazing.
She's impressive. And then twice a year, she has pop-up shops where all these other antique places from around the country come. And
how fun.
It's super fun.
You got to let me know when this comes to town.
It's in October. You have to come with me.
Okay, great. Yeah. I would love to come.
It's super fun.
So fun.
Yeah.
So your blog focuses on food, travel, because you travel with Little Big Town a lot.
Yep.
Which, and that's awesome. And Penelope comes and all the kids come.
Yeah, we all.
Because all y'all have kids.
Yes. You know, thankfully, I got a great husband, but he also has really wonderful bandmates.
And they all get along, right?
Yes. Which is so crazy.
That's hard to think that so four hard. People can get along. And they really do.
They really do. I mean, they really work together and they really are very loyal to the four of them. I mean, like, they talk and they made the commitment to each other about family and how important that was for them. And
so you know, they want all families on the road.
Yeah.
Everyone included.
Yeah. Karen's Kiki and Kimberly's Burley or Kim or, you know, like in the Penelope is Bop Bops, which came from Daisy, which is Kimberly's little girl.
Are they kind of raised as like cousins or siblings?
They
in a way?
Act like siblings a lot. Daisy definitely takes on the role of eldest. Penelope takes on middle, and Elijah is definitely the baby boy.
So there's three kids. So you all just have one.
Yep.
But it's almost like no one's an only child.
It's the best of both worlds. On the road, they have siblings, and then at home, they get to be the only kid. It's kind of incredible. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I want to be. A Little Big Town kid.
Y'all want to be, but you want to be you. I mean, y'all's life is so, but you know what? You guys have gone with the flow of your life. Like, I feel like there's no resistance. Like, you guys embrace it all.
You have to. I mean, otherwise, why are we here?
Some people might be like, I don't want to do it this way, and I don't want to raise my kid on the road. And they might put up a fight about it or throw fits, but I feel like
it's not worth it. You fight harder than it is just to go with it. And, you know, the experience that these kids are getting to see is kind of incredible. And they've been to Daisy's been to every state but Alaska.
Wow.
And Penelope and Elijah have been to every state but Hawaii and Alaska. So,
wow.
I mean, that's incredible. And they're not even in double digits yet. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. I never left Nashville except for to go to the beach. You know?
Yeah.
To go to Panama City on spring break.
What
you know?
A life experience. I wonder what they're going to be after seeing all these options.
They're such smart little
so
cookies.
Expanded. Their minds are so wide open.
Yeah, they really are. They really don't see male, female color, any of that stuff. Like, you know, Penelope's best friends besides Daisy and Elijah is a boy, Dylan, and they are like tight little buddies. And so it's
they see souls.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and
really
connections.
Yeah. I think a proud mommy moment was for me when I felt like I was doing something right was her last birthday. We took her to Disney World and we took her to the Bippity Boppity Boo Salon and they dress them all up. So she wanted to be Jasmine. And then she goes, Mommy, I want to go get my picture taken with Chewbacca.
That's awesome.
I was like, you got it.
Yeah.
So you just like to play, girl. You don't care what it is. She loves Star Wars, Barbies, American Girl doll. If it's a toy, she loves
She's
it.
She's in.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's really kind of neat. But I think it's because growing up on the road,
every walk of life is on the road.
Yeah.
Especially with a tour because there's so many crew. Yeah. There's so many people that are on the road. It's like a whole world out
there.
Yeah,
it is.
It's every walk of life.
And a lot of those crew people have seen them grow up. And mm-hmm. even if they don't necessarily work for Little Big Town anymore, they might work for Luke, who Little Big Town's out with now. Mm-hmm. Our very first bus driver when the girls were babies is out there, Reggie. And, you know, he can't believe how big the girls are getting. So it's a little bit of a family reunion, too. And those are the constants for them is those people out there and the bus life. And so it doesn't really matter that the outside environment is changing. It really doesn't affect them. It's kind of crazy.
Isn't it everyone, my husband, they're just getting going in their career, 1,000 horses. You've been in and out for a long time. But isn't it amazing? So many people are like, how can you live this life? Isn't it overwhelming? Isn't it hard? But like, to me,
isn't it hard in general?
Guys,
yeah.
It's beautiful though. The experiences and the community.
Yeah. Well, life is hard in general, no matter where you're raising your baby. I mean, it was just a choice I made, you know, like when Penelope was born, I had a choice to sit at home by myself while Philip was out on the road with George Strait for 2 months with a new baby or hop on that bus and have another new mom that's literally across the bus hallway from me. And, you know, to be able to ask Karen, hey, can I just go potty by myself really quick and we watch her? And they would, you know, it's like it is a family. We do take care of each other. And that's what's so nice about it. I mean, it's kind of a blessing to have Philip, but it's definitely a blessing to have his bandmates too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They're great people.
How is the bus situation? Are y'all all in one?
We used to all be in one.
That's a lot of people on one.
The girls used to share a bunk. We split a bunk in half and padded them all out. And this is I will never forget this. Daisy is our little gymnast. She literally has had abs since the day she was born. She's just so fit and little muscles on her legs. She's adorable. One morning we had the divider and the girls could pop their little heads out when they were awake and stuff. Well, one morning we thought, gosh, they're sleeping in and they're being so quiet. And all of a sudden we hear this like, Daisy had swung herself over into Penelope's bunk and we didn't hear it.
Cause she's like just
so muscles.
Oh my gosh.
We have no, like, when Kimberly and I was like still like trying to wrap our head around, like, how did she do that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She was our little gymnast for sure. So they were just in there playing, having a great old time.
How fun to slumber party like that growing up. Always like have a built-in slumber party.
Oh yeah. They always think it's a sleepover. So
yeah.
And now it kind of breaks out to like, every family gets half of a bus. So, okay, like
two per bus.
Yeah. Like Kimberly's on the bus with the Westbrook. So it's like the Schlappmans, the Westbrooks are on one bus, but like Kimberly has the back half and the Westbrooks have the front, and then they kind of share the lobby, you know, like the front room, you know.
Okay.
And then Philip and I have a back of a bus, and then our tour manager's out there and security and camera guy and, you know.
Okay, cool.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And the kids bounce between buses and, you know. They think it's all theirs. Yeah.
I love this.
They like bust up into sound check and they're like, we're here.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid of Little Big Town.
Me too. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's super fun. They have a great time. And, you know, I'm thankful that Philip and Karen and Jimmy and Kimberly have created that environment for all of us.
And everyone wants that same thing.
Yeah. It's nice. It's really nice.
Okay. So how did all y'all's lives change when Girl Crush hit? Because changed the world.
It did change the world. It was, for me, this is what I love about being a wife and being on this side is watching something like that happen, especially to those four people. But even the controversy that it caused and the way that they handled it was just so amazing. Cause I would just be like, tell that person to, you know, like, I can't even believe that they can't hear this, or, you know, no one can still believe that it didn't go to number one.
It didn't go to number one?
No, it died at number two.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
But it was like the most monstrous song.
It broke a 53-year sales record and didn't go number one.
Cow.
Can you believe that? But that's what I love about Little Big Town is like, that's so them. Everybody thinks Boondocks went number one and
it didn't?
No, it went number nine.
Really?
Same thing with Bring It On Home was the highest one until Pontoon.
Wow.
And it was
Pontoon went number three or four.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So
yeah,
that was their first number one.
What Pontoon was?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I love that Little Big Town is that story. Mm-hmm. You know, like that they just keep going and they just keep pushing on, and they actually inspire me a lot with Sweet Lady Jane in the way that I run my blog and my business is just to be patient and just to take the high road and, you know, just put your nose to the grind, and when you look up, you're going to be so impressed, and then just put it right back and just keep going. And it's inspiring. I am lucky to see how that they run a well-oiled machine. So
it's run with love.
Yeah, totally.
And the high road.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely, the high road for sure. I mean, they always are just such great examples of that. I need to learn more of them.
No,
sometimes.
You have. And I think you, though, in your journey, the fact that you are conquering your greatest fear.
Yeah.
And you are being the most vulnerable, exposing the most vulnerable part of yourself.
Yeah.
And putting it out there.
Which is an interesting feeling.
But it's like the scariest, but the most freeing, right?
Yeah. Because, you know, if you think about it, we're judged every day by no matter who you are. When you mm-hmm. walk into the grocery store, if you're in your workout clothes, you know somebody's looking at you like, oh my God, she's in her workout clothes. You know, so it's not any different. And I think when you make it an even playing field in your mind, then it becomes not so vulnerable, and it just becomes like, well, if that's their opinion, then they don't have to read it.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. Or if they love it, then they can read it, you know, share with your friends and stuff like that. So I really, truly am out there to conquer a fear and to...
Is that your main goal, to conquer your fear?
And to really like have something of mine that was creative, my own creative space. You know, Penelope one day is not going to be here and not need me as much, you know, like mm-hmm. in that sense. And so I really wanted to have something that was mine for that reason. So
like your outlet.
Yeah, definitely my outlet.
That's amazing.
I don't know who's here, but somebody's at my house.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, it's Hayden.
Hi. Hey.
Okay.
How's it going?
Hi, girl.
She picked me up some boots.
Oh.
Sweet assistant Hayden.
What kind of boots did she get?
From Hemline. You might want to go get them because they're like $200 when you see them. They're thigh-high black boots.
Girl.
No joke. I love Hemline. It's like an
Hemline
obsession.
Who owns that?
Mary.
It's not Holly Williams. She does H. Audrey.
She does H. Audrey. And I love Holly too.
Yeah.
I love Holly's got a great story too, man. Yeah. She needs to write a book. I would
she
read that book.
She does, doesn't she? Because they survived that horrible accident.
Yeah. She needs to write a book. Man, she's like old country Nashville.
Her
not
Hank
just country.
Williams,
yeah.
All the Williams.
Not just country history, but like Nashville history. They've been, their family's been around, you know, for generations. So I bet they've seen a lot.
Okay. So there's some local stores. Hemline is hot.
Yes.
So what are you looking forward to with your blog? And what are you looking forward to with your future? Like, I love vision boards and like, where you see your life. Like, what do you see your life in the next 5, 10? Just what do you see your future with your endeavors and your life?
I really want Sweet Lady Jane to become bigger, you know, like even with employees or even the reach and even what I'm doing, not just, I mean, the basis of it will always be the blog, but I really want to expand into a jacket. I have an idea for a jacket that...
Yes.
Kind of like a pink ladies jacket, like where I would give you one and Karen one and they all have HB on it.
Oh my gosh, how cool would that be?
Which could be head boss or head, depending on how you want to take it.
Head bitch. For sure.
Yeah. I would say head bitch, but.
What a great idea for a jacket.
Yeah.
Every woman would love that.
Yeah. And kind of like, it's almost like my way of thanking them, but also like kind of branching out into that world because I love fashion too. I mean.
You look awesome.
Sometimes I have to Google how to pronounce the word, but I'm working on that. But I really do appreciate it. I mean, it's artwork too, and it's a creative space. And you know, Alexander McQueen is one of my favorites just because of how dramatic he is and his opposites of like life and death and stuff like that is kind of fascinating to me because he just seems like a very interesting soul. And you know, like there was a lot going on up there, you know, and
so you want to grow it.
Grow it big.
Blog,
worldwide. Like,
worldwide into like
clothes. And cocktail mixes and you know, I really just wanna be a providing factor not only for myself but for my family and be inspiring to my daughter too. Like I want her to feel like if she doesn't fit into this corporate world that she can create her own space. And that's what I had to do. So I'm creating my own space and I wanna be successful in doing that, you know, and I want to be like the female Richard Branson or something amazing like that.
I see it.
You know?
And
I've been this close to him sometimes. So I'm like trying to rub him.
You're like,
for good luck.
Some of that Branson juice.
Yeah. Can I? Have you met my husband? He kind of looks like you.
I do kind of, huh?
Oh my gosh. He's gotten that before. It's really funny.
That's funny.
We went to a party after the Grammys this past year. I have to tell the story because you'll crack up.
Okay.
So our manager is friends with Justin Bieber's manager. So we got invited to his after party. So we were all kind of like, oh, this will be great people watching, right?
Yeah.
And we're just so not used to paparazzi being there, right?
Right.
And like blinding. So I step out of the car and they're kind of like, eh, who's this? You know?
Yeah.
And then Philip gets out and they're like, Richard Branson. And we just all started busting out laughing.
And you're like, he's like, hey, yeah, thank you.
Yes, put my tab on his tab. Send him the bill.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was funny. It was quite funny. You know, they're just trying to get a reaction and half of those paparazzi like, don't even know who anybody is anyways.
Right.
They're just snapping.
They're just trying to get a bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap up. Anything else I missed that we need to talk about?
No.
Anything else you want to, like, talk about Sweet Lady Jane?
No, I love what's going on. I love your stuff, too. It's so fun.
Oh.
And it's so perfect. I love your name, too. It's so eye-catching. And
thanks.
So perfect.
Well, I think that's why, like, I'm drawn to you because I love that you're just, like, an innovator and you're just doing your own thing and you're putting yourself out there. And it's a little scary to do that. Like, when I started this podcast, it was a little nerve-wracking because it's like, what if everyone thinks I'm stupid?
No, but you're not. You're so entertaining. That's what I love about it, too. And the people that you've interviewed, you've gotten this great stuff out of them and your questions are very thoughtful and I love it. This was fun. Anytime you want to come hang out with me, you are always welcome, girl.
Well, thanks. I love hanging out with you. Well, you're so inspiring. Like,
thank
I think,
you.
And that's the kind of people I like to interview are people who are inspiring the world because that's what needs to be heard and seen and more of it.
I hope that's the goal too, you know, is just to be inspiring to Penelope and other people out there who might have a challenge, even if it's not dyslexia, you know, I encourage you to explore it and figure it out and don't be scared of it.
You like, just, you looked yours right in the eyes and you said, this is the scariest thing part of my life and I'm going to like expose it to everyone.
Yeah, because I'm an intelligent human being and I will fix this, you know?
That just inspires me to no end.
So, and there's a, where there's a will, there's a way.
There
if
is.
You don't face it, you can't fix it. So.
Amen.
You know, and it will chase you.
It will.
Forever.
It will. It will chase you until you look at it in the eyeball.
Yeah. And now I don't feel so, you know, I kept going back to college and trying to get that degree. And now that doesn't mean as much to me as before, because now I feel like I've conquered.
What you were trying to do with college. And
exactly. Like I'm still learning and I'm still reading books and educating myself. So I'm okay with not having that piece of paper.
Love
you know?
That.
Yeah.
So I like to wrap up with Leave Your Light.
Okay.
So just give me some inspiration, how you have been inspired, how you want to inspire people, like just leave light, whatever that is to you.
I like that. I like leave light. So I would encourage people, to face their demon and follow their dreams. And you know what? We live in a great country where you can do that. The only person stopping you is you. You know, Philip is a great example of that. Little Big Town's a great example of
that. You are a great example of that.
You are too. I mean, you grew up in the industry, in the music industry too. And, you know, to do something that's so amazing, you and yours and...
It feels good to take ownership of your life.
Yeah. And it's authentic to you. And so I just encourage people to do that. And dreams do come true. You just have to follow them. Yeah. Stay at it. When it gets... Doesn't mean it will be easy.
Mm-mm. It won't be.
And it won't be. But it wouldn't be worth it if it was. It wouldn't be fun, you know?
I think you're the most perfect person ever.
Aww.
You really are.
You're so sweet.
I love this interview.
Aww,
and
thank
everyone
you.
Needs to check out your blog all
Please
the time.
Do.
Sweet Lady Jane.
Please do.
All sorts of great stuff up there constantly. I mean, so many
thank
things
you.
To learn from you. You're
growing and...
I love it.
And it's mine. It's my little baby.
It's your baby and it's a beautiful baby.
Thank you.
You've done a great job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me too.
Oh, thanks
I love
for
it.
Doing this. You're the best ever.
Anytime.
Okay. Bye, Rebecca Sweet, everyone.
Thank you.
Caroline, she's the queen of talking. Hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline.
I hope you were inspired by Rebecca. I know she inspires me, and I am just so glad that I got to have a chance to interview her. She's such an incredible woman, and she's doing so many incredible things. Make sure to check out her blog, Sweet Lady Jane. It's so good. Next week, I have Stormy Warren joining me. This dude is incredible. I was so starstruck the first time I met him 10 years ago in Key West at a songwriter festival because I grew up watching him on GAC. To me, he was like the face of country music. He introduced every music video. He was all over Nashville. He was all over GAC. And it was kind of surreal when I met him. And it's crazy because now he's been a friend to me for about 10 years. And he's always been the kindest person. He's offered me so much wisdom about how to grow my hosting career, tips on how to be a better host. He shared his story. And it's just a real big privilege and honor for me to have him join me next week on Hyper. So y'all make sure and tune in. And he has his own show on Sirius on the highway. And it's so good. It's the morning show with Stormy Warren. And he's incredible. So make sure to tune in next week and subscribe on iTunes. Bye.